Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name, and I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. I will praise you, O Lord.
Interface.
With all of
not the same questions, not the same answers.
Hello, I'm Brad Johnson, and welcome to Interface, an examination of Christian perspectives on life, the universe, and everything. Here to help us wade through all of that is Adam Ayers, the pastor of Disciples Church in Costa Mesa, California, and the founder of the Stoa Foundation. Also joining us on our show is Rebecca Crichton, a visitor from Australia, officially a member of Generation Y. She just missed Generation X because, Rebecca, you were born...
1979.
And Adam, Generation X ended...
Right about then.
All right, right about then. So you're kind of like right on the borderline of Generation X and Generation Y. And this often happens when people join us in the studio to come up and see what we do. We end up putting them in the booth. And since Rebecca is here with us, trapped in the booth, we thought we would get contemporary perspectives on a contemporary world.
Part of that, Beck, what we want to talk to you about is there is much dialogue in the Christian church today about being relevant, about being contemporary. And really, our society and culture generally are focused upon youth as the ground of values, as the ground of style, as the ground of that which is culturally relevant. And all the world is looking at you right now. And especially as someone who comes from another country, another culture that is impacted, especially in the church, by many of the trends set in the United States. As a, shall we say, a recipient of the fallout of American culture from across the ocean, we'd like to hear some of your perspectives. What is it like to be involved in contemporary church in Australia? What's going on there? And how does it relate to what you see going on with American culture? So if you could define all of those things for us in one sentence or more, give us some of your perspectives on that. What's it like to be there? What's going on in the Australian church there? What do you see?
Well, Australian churches are very contemporary. Most of them are like Anglican, Baptist, community churches. The Anglican churches are still following the Anglican way. The Baptist churches are still following the Baptist way. And they're not really being 90s or thousands or whatever.
Now, when you say contemporary, what comes to mind for you when you think of a contemporary service? What are you seeing?
It's very rigid. It doesn't really get personal with God as much as I would like it to. You go sing songs, someone reads the Old Testament, someone reads the New Testament, you sing another song, and then someone preaches. Then you have notices and a bit more singing. And often I feel like people are just going there to meet with friends rather than God. And it's just every week is sort of a lot of the time the same. And people don't express their feelings for God. Like they go there and they think, well, I don't want to sing too loud because someone might hear me. And they should be thinking, I'm singing to God here. I'm rejoicing to the Lord and I don't care what the person next to me thinks. Like, it's all just very, you know, go and just sit there and listen to what these people have to say, and they need to get into it.
What kind of messages, when you say someone gives a sermon, kind of the same thing every week, what kind of messages do you hear?
I go to an evening service. I don't go to the morning service. In the evening, the majority of it is preached from the New Testament, and a lot of it is fantastic. The preaching is really fantastic, but it's not really dealing with, well, kids my age, you know, it's really just straight out of the Bible. They're not really relating to kids these days. It's just very Anglican.
What I find interesting about that is that from church leadership perspectives, the contemporary church movement was designed in order to be relevant. In other words, to try to bring, like, for example, high church meetings, which I suppose are Sunday mornings, correct?
Mm-hmm.
From the old, quote-unquote, old church ways to contemporary, mm-hmm. modern ways, and yet somehow contemporary now with the generation upcoming seems archaic and rigid. What do you see as concerns for your generation?
Well, we live in such a fast-moving world, and I think the church is having trouble keeping up with that. Kids need so much guidance. Like, it's hard being a kid. I mean, I don't know what it's like for older people, but I mean, around my age, it's tough being a kid, and I think the churches really need to get stuck into it because kids need so much nourishing and at that age, and a lot of the time, I think they're preaching towards older people, yet they're preaching to younger people.
Well, first off, let me ask you, we were briefly getting into this as we started the warm-up for today's show. Could you talk a little bit about how you see yourself and others related to Gen X and Gen Y? Now, where do you place yourself? You said a little bit about this. Where do you place yourself?
Personally, I feel more of a Generation X, even though I am Generation Y, only being a bit more mature than kids my age, maybe. I guess the way that my life has panned out, not completing school and going straight into work, having to grow up a bit faster than a lot of kids my age, I sort of went to uni straight away. And yeah, so
for those of you Americans, that means university.
Yeah, I consider myself more of a Generation X in being a bit more mature, but obviously I'm Generation Y because of my age. So yeah, and I think that the church, well, not just the church, but a lot of people just class kids because of their age. And I think they need to really get into it and realize where kids are mature spiritually and just in life in general.
By the way, isn't it odd? I'm addressing this primarily to Brad. We don't normally think of someone saying, who is considered an adult. We're not used to hearing people who would be considered legally adults say, I would consider myself Generation X because I'm more mature. Whereas Generation X has the reputation of being the slacker generation, but perhaps with all the analysis of Generation X, we've spent so much time analyzing it that it has passed by. And all of that we think is brand new, cutting edge, contemporary Gen X relevant work is really archaic for those up and coming next, that they consider that the generation previous. And as you say, that there is so much speed with which the generations pass these days. Actually, I think generations have always passed very quickly. But by the time we create something that we think is relevant, it is very passé. So when you say your generation, young people today, desire nourishment and nurture and instruction and help, what kinds of things do you have in mind when you think that?
I think churches need to be more sensitive to kids' needs and not only think about ways they can help them through the Bible, but be real and realize that kids, they not only need Jesus, but they also need someone that they can talk to without feeling like this person is just going to go, oh, that's a bad Christian thing. You know, like, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be doing that because everyone sins, you know, and kids need people to talk to, things like that. And it's so hard being a kid and wanting to find out what all these other kids do that aren't Christians. Kids are curious. It's just a fact of life. And adults are curious. And I think the churches can really turn kids off when going, oh, you're doing something that's not Christian. Kids need someone to talk to. And what better place to talk to someone than in a church? They should feel comfortable to be able to go to a leader or to a pastor and say, hey, look, I'm having trouble here. I need help. And I think often kids don't feel that.
What do you think are the hindrances that keep young people from speaking to their Christian leaders? I mean, obviously there is a shame issue, but since we do, as Christian leaders, represent a moral structure that we're supposed to, in some ways, instruct and say, these are the things that are right, these are the things that are wrong. How can one, in your assessment, be relevant? And by the way, does that mean being similar to youth? What do you see as an inviting situation for a young person to be able to speak their mind and heart?
A more relaxed environment. Again, moving away from the contemporary, I think we need a more 90s, 2000 word for it, and style of church being more relaxed and realizing that kids do need someone to talk to and not condemning them for what they do, but listening to them and then setting them on the right track instead of just going, ooh, that's bad. You know, like that's fully sinning and sure, it probably is, But they need someone to say, okay, yeah, I understand your problem. Now let's work together on it, rather than just saying, that's bad, that's bad.
Okay, well, let's spin a scenario here. I'm going to be relevant Pastor X. And this youth worker decides that in order to be relevant, he will place metal parts through various and sundry anatomical parts and get tattoos and decide to be relevant and put together a relevant youth-oriented service. How does that come across?
The body piercing is stupid because kids are like, yeah, whatever, try and be cool. It's very important to have a relevant way of presenting the gospel to the kids.
So what is relevant?
Okay, well, like friends. Who are your friends going to be? What are you going to do if your friend tells you to jump off a bridge, you're going to jump off a bridge? Sex, drugs, relating to your parents, like respect.
So really what you're talking about here is not so much relevance of style, but relevance of content.
Yeah, that's right.
Does it matter what the style is?
I think a lot of them are too long. Kids will only listen for a few minutes. And they're like, yeah, yeah, whatever, get over it. Kids want to get up and play and get to the point quickly. Don't mess around.
So forthrightness, perhaps?
Yeah.
Along those lines, who are the people that you find kids listen to? What are they like?
They're natural. They are who they are, and they're not trying to be someone else. They are godly.
By godly, what do you mean?
Okay, well, they strive to be like Jesus. They're not trying to be something that they're not, And they try to be like Jesus as much as they can. And kids see that because kids see right through people if they're not being real with them. And kids, I mean, when you go to a church youth group, then you expect the leaders to be godly.
What do you see are the most significant things in someone being like Jesus?
Being real, always like thinking, would Jesus do this? Am I acting like Jesus? Am I trusting in Jesus to relate to these kids? Yeah, just showing Jesus in themselves.
So let's kind of turn this a little bit and talk about kids and parents. I'm sure many people out there listening are parents out there thinking, why doesn't my kid talk to me about things deep in their hearts? And there are many kids out there longing, why doesn't somebody talk to me about real issues of my life? So on the one hand, there's tremendous frustration. I don't know the deep things that are going on in my kid's life, and my kid won't talk to me. They walk to their room, they slam their door. You know, obviously the kid is going through trial, difficulty, convulsion of spirit. From the kid's side, it's, I have all these questions. I have nowhere to get answers. I'm not hearing relevant, truthful, genuine dialogue from anyone in the church or otherwise. Mm-hmm. Why the gap?
I think some parents are embarrassed to talk about those things with their kids, and the kids are just as embarrassed. And with so many strange things in the world now, kids know a lot more about stuff than their parents, and their parents aren't up to date on these things. So the parents are scared to talk about these things, and the kids are just like, ooh, what if my mom and dad know that I know about these things? Are they going to be like, oh, you know, you shouldn't know about these things, and those things don't happen? And
how about in the church? There are many parents who would love to share spirituality with their kids,
mm-hmm.
and probably many Christian kids, although your parents are not believers.
Mm-hmm.
Among your friends and those in your church youth group, what do you find is the hindrances between the kids trying to share spirituality with their parents?
I think that their friends, like it's uncool to be like that with your parents, to be close to your parents. Yeah, and especially talking about spiritual things with your parents, like some kids probably think, oh, if my friends knew that I talked about that with my parents, then, you know, that's a bit strange.
What advice would you give to parents trying to work with that issue? If you could speak for teens generally to say, what we really need from you is this.
Parents need to be honest, and here it is in black and white. Get straight to the point. Don't mess around with it. And don't be scared of it, and ask God for words, because God is the person that needs to speak to the kids through you. Don't be scared about it. And kids are longing for close relationships, but it's hard with their friends mocking them. And yeah, I think parents need to be a lot more real with their kids and wake up. It's the year 2000. Talk about stuff. Don't keep it back.
So real as in no secrets?
Yeah.
Real as in the struggles of a parent's life? Real as in here are the facts about the issue? How informed should the parents make the kid? Because I know many parents, and I as a pastor too, I wonder about this. I think, you know, how soon do we spoil someone's innocence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think parents are scared of that as well. Like, is my kid growing up too fast and all that sort of stuff? But I think they have to realize that kids are growing up really fast these days. I mean, I look at myself and I just think, oh my goodness, slow down. Like, you're only 20. Stop moving so fast. But we're in such a fast world that things are changing so quickly. And parents, I guess, aren't used to that. I mean, my parents aren't used to it. We're just in such a fast world and parents need to keep up.
One of the things that comes to mind frequently for me is that we as a church tend to put a lot of focus on moral issues.
Mm-hmm.
We place a very high stake on drinking, on drugs, on sexual promiscuity. And the church puts much emphasis on moral behavior, particularly sexual behavior among teens, and on behavior with the vices among teens. And all legal and ethical issues aside, what I find very interesting is that the church does almost nothing in the way of sex education or drug education or any of these kinds of programs. And the Christian community often seeks to fight and oppose drug education, sex education in public schools. And I believe that's much the case in Australia as well as in the U.S.
Yep.
Off the top of your head, how would you feel about sex education programs in the church or drug education programs in the church in youth groups?
I think it's a must. But when they do it, again, get straight to the point and lay it out. Here it is. I mean, they're always saying, like, sex, all bad. That's all bad. Sex isn't bad. I mean, sex is from God, but a lot of the time they're not saying exactly why people do this. Like, why are people allowed to have sex? You know, it's always just, you shouldn't do it, it's bad. And with drugs, you shouldn't do it, it's bad. Well, why shouldn't I do it? Why is it bad? Why are drugs bad? Kids don't know those things. They need to learn why they are bad, what they're going to do to them to destroy them. But a lot of the time it's just, oh, it's bad. Everything's bad.
Kind of a question, if you don't mind, a personal one. Who would you rather have had explain sexuality to you? Your mom, your dad, your friends, or your pastor?
My mom.
Is that the case that you found?
Yes.
May I ask you how old?
Mom has always been very open about it, which I think, we're having four kids, she's always been very open about it. And she's always said that she will always be open about it because her mom wasn't, and she didn't know what it all was.
So how old were you?
I really have no idea.
Could you place a priority on those four?
Mum would be first. What were the others again?
Mom, dad, friends, pastor, or school, really.
Uh-huh.
Five.
Mum would be first. I think school is important as well because I guess being around friends. Dad would probably be last. And I guess instead of saying pastor, I would say more youth leader.
Formal program or informal program?
Informal.
Just kind of question and answer or with a set agenda?
I guess question and answer is good because that way kids won't miss out on things that they want to know. You know, they can ask exactly what they feel. It might be a bit embarrassing for them at first, but again, if the leaders are natural and relaxed about it and don't act as though it's a big taboo, then kids are more likely to ask questions about it and really get the answers that they want and not listen to all the stuff they don't want to know.
Great. As we begin to get toward the end of the show here, I'd like to have your thoughts as our official representative of Gen XY. What are the longings and thoughts of this up-and-coming generation? What do you value? What do you wish for as far as society generally, the Christian community? What kind of a world do you want to live in, and how do you see to get there?
I would hope that by the time I have kids, that we would live in a world that is not all about just, I'm really sick of seeing movies with sex all over it. And I'm sick of walking past a newsstand and seeing awful magazines. And why is all of that so necessary? Why aren't kids being taught, not only at church, but at home also, why aren't they being taught to have self-esteem and to love themselves and know that Jesus loves them? Why is there so many families where Jesus isn't in that family? I just so much want kids to know Jesus and to be brought up in a family that knows Jesus and, yeah, get past all this awful stuff that is so unnecessary and so Hollywood and, can I say that because I'm Australian?
Yes, you can.
And I'm sick of the media being so stupid and how much TV do kids watch? Like, it's ridiculous. And why are they allowed to put all this garbage on TV when there's so many kids watching TV? You know, you look at video games and they're all about fighting and killing each other. And you know, it's just, when are kids going to get back to playing outside and riding their bikes and, you know?
There's much effort expended from the generations which have preceded in being relevant. And for the generation following behind, the newest generation, having passed the contemporary service as a means of being relevant and past the social I'm here for my friends in the programs thing as being relevant, is it going to be larger TVs and better media presentations, which brings the gospel to the next generation, and pardon the pejorative term, but slicker media presentations? Or is it being outside and riding the bicycle and being more natural? What is the thing that we can do to say the gospel most clearly to the up-and-coming generation?
Well, I guess the way that things are heading, get on the internet. But it's just, I think kids will go away on a camp and just have the most fantastic time out with their friends, out at the beach, playing, doing what they do, and not being locked up in a room in front of a computer or in front of a TV and that being their whole life. I think we need to get kids on more camps and a lot more fellowship with kids so that they can have a lot more fellowship together and grow together that way. I mean, too many kids sit in front of the TV.
So get them people.
Yeah, yeah, be real with them.
People, relationships. Once again, the gospel is something established only by close personal contact. Okay, here's your last chance, a couple minutes. What would you say to Christians, young and old, anywhere that you can, in the American culture, what would you say?
Just get right into Jesus. Just live your whole entire life for Jesus. And remember that Jesus is always next to you. He's everywhere. And totally put your whole trust in him. And, yeah, just, like, it's probably the hardest thing to do is fully trust in God. But I think that the only way, I mean, God is the only person that can change people's hearts and soften people's hearts. And pray for everyone. Pray for all the people that you know that aren't Christians and keep praying for them, because God works miracles and he is the only one that can change their hearts. You can't change their hearts for them. Pray and just make it your goal to be a light for Jesus.
Remarkably like the letters of Paul. Very good. Thank you, Beck, for letting us delve into your brain and culture. And thank you for traveling all that distance from Australia to come here and be with us.
No worries.
We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
We've been enjoying a conversation with Adam Ayers and a friend of ours from Australia, 20-year-old Rebecca Crichton, speaking on life, the universe, and everything. We'd like to thank you for tuning into Interface. Please feel free to contact us and tell us what you think of the show. Feel free to suggest topics for future shows. We really do value your input. You can reach us by phone at 949-574-0064. Again, that's 949-574-0064. You can find us on the web at www.stoafoundation.com. While you're there, please check out our archive of real audio files of past shows. Again, that's Stoa Foundation, S-T-O-A Foundation.com. The Stoa Foundation is a nonprofit foundation, and we rely on your support to keep this thing going, pay for airtime, pay for tapes, things like that. So please feel free to send money to P.O. Box 2656, Newport Beach, California, 92663, and make your checks payable to the Stoa Foundation. Thanks to Chris Holowaty, our engineer. Thanks to Media City Sound for helping to make Interface possible. And thanks to you for listening.